Hello and welcome to the Mother's Empowerment Podcast. I'm your host, Isabel Bridges, and here on this show, we dive deep into all things mothering, sistering, and humaning. Because the roles that you play are something you learned, not who you are. Let's begin. Julia Mitchell and I have known each other for, 10 years. And she has been so vital in my choosing to really embrace the changes that are now upon me as a 42-year-old woman. And I am just excited to turn you on to her, onto her work, and also onto yourself, onto this phase of your life, and to really embrace the changes in an empowering way. You're going to learn how to do that and so much more on this episode. See you inside the episode. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Mother's Empowerment Podcast. This show has been a request for, you know, as long as I've been doing this podcast. Women have been asking me, talk about menopause. Nobody's talking about menopause. So a warm welcome to Julia Mitchell. She is going to have us start the talk about menopause. Julia, before I ask you to introduce yourself, I just want to presence that I have a daughter who is almost 13. And people keep asking me, have you had the talk? Have you had the talk? But why aren't we asking ourselves that same question about us? And we're going through this transition. Yes, she's entering adolescence, but I'm entering something too as a 42-year-old. And I need to have the talk too. So today we're having the talk. Okay. Welcome, Julia. Will you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and then we'll dive in?
Yes, I'm so happy to be here. This is like my dream come true. I love talking about this because I recognize exactly your point that our culture and our society, we haven't had enough opportunity. And as women, you know, we deserve it. We deserve information. We deserve accurate information. And there's so many cultural reasons why it's been stigmatized or it's super confusing. So I am 55. I am past menopause. I became a health coach last year. So I really got excited to help women because I myself was helped by a program I started last year called The Faster Way to Fat Loss. So I am a certified coach. I'm getting my menopause coaching certification and some advanced macro nutrition certifications this year too. And it's all in service of helping midlife women with their fitness and nutrition to really support this menopause transition and beyond. What do we need in midlife to thrive? Because I think there are multitude of symptoms that we experience, but also there are things we need to do differently. And no one has taught us about nutrition and exercise and why those two particular things, lifestyle changes, can be so supportive, regardless of whether you seek other kinds of treatment to help you with, you know, your menopausal symptoms like hormone therapy and those kinds of things. So my focus really is more on those lifestyle changes and how they can benefit.
So help me orient a little bit. What are we talking about? Like, what is this phase, perimenopause, menopause? Can you give us like a rough definition of that?
Yeah. So as females, we are born with all of our eggs. Right? We have all of our eggs in our ovaries when we're born. And when we hit puberty, that is when we start to have a menstrual period. That's when we start to become fertile. That's called the premenopausal phase, from puberty until a point at which your body is starting to go through changes as your number of viable eggs starts to decline. So around 30, believe it or not, we are down to only 10% of our viable eggs. And when we hit 40, it's 3%. So that just kind of paints that picture that like the body has been, you've been having this menstrual period with these normal hormonal fluctuations that have been going, you know, if you have a pretty regular period for this 28-day cycle, well, that starts to go get kind of wonky. 7 to 10 years or so before your last menstrual period. So menopause is actually one day. I mean, the language is kind of insufficient, I would say. It's like our, it's all defined by the end of our fertile period. And then it's sort of like, oh, whatever happens after that. Well, I don't know. It's postmenopause. Well, it's a third of your life is spent after your last period. So perimenopause is actually a period of time that can start as early as 10 years before. And it's a time of basically hormonal fluctuations, wild fluctuations, because you have fewer and fewer viable eggs. And so your body is starting to kind of be affected by the declining estrogen and progesterone as a result of that. So you might get some of the most typical symptoms people will notice, or your doctor might say, oh yeah, that's going to be a sign, would be irregular periods, more time between your periods, less time between your periods, heavier bleeding, et cetera. So irregular periods. And then the sort of stereotypical almost, you know, symptom is the hot flash. And that's sometimes all people really know about. It's like, well, I've heard I'll have irregular periods and I'll get these hot flashes that sound unpleasant. But it turns out there are like 70 symptoms of this hormonal, these changes. And what I think makes perimenopause particularly challenging is that it's haywire. It's like, I've heard it described as the zone of chaos, because our hormonal, everything is so interrelated. So in addition to estrogen and progesterone, we've got cortisol, you know, our stress hormone. We've got insulin, we've got our thyroid, and everything is interconnected. So and this is something I didn't know. No one explained this to me. There are estrogen receptors in all of our organ systems. So we think of it related to our ovaries and our, you know, sex organs, but the reduction in both estrogen and progesterone, specifically estrogen, actually affects all of our organ systems. So that's why this list of symptoms is so big and why it's so confusing, because some of these symptoms are things that we don't immediately attribute to hormones, or they're vague, or they can be explained by other things, like trouble sleeping, or mood disorders like low mood, like depression, irritability, or I'd go so far as to say rage. That was definitely one for me. Brain fog, difficulty to concentrate, headaches. I mean, you could just basically start with the body at the top and go all the way down, and there would be a symptom related to especially reduced estrogen, lowered estrogen down through our whole body. So the thing also about all of this is that it's unique to every woman. So that's also why I think it's hard sometimes it's not like a simple checklist. It's like, I remember the first pamphlet I got from Kaiser, and it was like, oh, these could last 1 to 10 years, and you could have 1 to 70 of these. And it's just, you're given this information like, wait, what? These all sound terrible. Mm-hmm. Are these coming for me? Yeah. It's very overwhelming. And it's very overwhelming. And then I think combined with doctors not being educated in menopause, combined with the stigma and women and the lack of research. And, you know, you kind of just layer those things. Well, then it's no wonder it's also feels so individual Like, I have to figure this out for myself. I have to go out and do, this is what happened to me. Like, go do all the reading, find the books, try the things I'd heard about. I mean, that's just unacceptable, really, right? Like, why we shouldn't be buying maca off of Amazon and hoping for the best or something like that, right?
Yes. And, you know, this is the Mother's Empowerment podcast, right? And how disempowering to have this whole, like you said, third of our life that we're dismissed, you know? As aging women, we're just dismissed. And there's so much wisdom that, and so many gifts that we have to bring. So to have the whole package dismissed is really insulting and disempowering. So we're just, during this conversation, we're reclaiming our power by learning about it, by educating ourselves. So I really honor the work that you're doing and appreciate you as an older sister going ahead of me and, you know, saying, this is where you're going, Isabel. These are some things we can do to help you.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, I think you nailed it. Like, empowerment to me with this is information. Mm-hmm. And it's knowing your options. You can make informed choices. And the more you know about what's going to happen to your body, the better this hormone, this menopause transition will be. I mean, that is just a fact. Like, because then you know, you can go to your doctor and you can say, here, I'm tracking my symptoms. Here's this information. You know, you can insist on and advocate for an informed conversation. You know that you'll know that you can advocate, you can potentially, if you're able to, switch providers because you do not have an OBGYN or a primary care doctor who is informed, you know, we've been on the receiving end where you just are told, like you said, dismiss, you're told it's part of aging. Just kind of get over it, or that it's all in your head, which, you know, as women we're used to in other facets, so it's like being told it's this gaslighting. And it's just, I think what's so exciting, I'll say, about this time right now is that there are amazing women in this Gen X population who are out there saying, no, this is not acceptable. And I'm going to, you know, push this conversation and give people information. So I'm like doing it in my little part over here, you know, in terms of the actual understanding of all the hormones and how they work and hormone treatment. You know, that's really the purview of, you know, OBGYNs. And there's some, you know, I can share books and resources that for people who want to dig in more, because there's a lot of great information now. And that's,
let's have those. Let's put those in the show notes, because I think that that would be really helpful for people to have resources.
Totally.
Yeah.
Let's take a small break here and go on over to isabelbridges.com/membership and check it out. This month's theme is going to be so useful. We are going to be talking about habits, what creates a habit, what makes creating a habit difficult, and you'll be choosing one specific habit to install this month while you get all the support that you desire and deserve. Check it out at isabelbridges.com/membership. Back to the show.
So when does this, like, when should one begin to perk their ears up about how this may impact their own lives? Like, at what age or what phase?
I would say that over 35, I mean, perimenopause can start as early as 35, which would be on the low end. But because a woman who's 45 and over, like a doctor, if you haven't had a period for a year and there's no other reason to explain it, no other medical condition, and you're over 45, you're in menopause. So women can hit that when they're, you know, under 50, 51, 52 is kind of more the average age. But then if you roll that back and you think about 10 years ahead, some people can start having those symptoms in their early 40s or even late 30s. Now, some of these symptoms, you know, it's like, it's a slow process. So some of them aren't noticeable. And really when you start to notice them, it's when the body is kind of finally also like, you know, I'm now trying to do all these functions that I've done optimally with all this estrogen and progesterone and especially estrogen. And now the body is kind of starting to, not function as well. And so when I said, hey, you know, it's like, if you imagine that cycle is going up and down every 28 days with it's the estrogen and then the progesterone comes in and it's doing its little dance. It's like a little tango. And then, you know, perimenopause hits and it's like this discordant, crazy two dance partner, you know, dance into two different beats. And like, so some of that happens and you might just have some insomnia or, you know, there might be these little symptoms that you don't really notice and don't, but it's when I've heard it described by this one doctor, Mary Claire Haber, as like, it's when you start to go, I don't feel right in my body. I'm noticing that I don't, I haven't really changed anything about my lifestyle. And yet I'm having this, you know, I have low energy, or I'm just, you just start to, you can't quite put your finger on it. And that's kind of that early, that really early indication. And I know that's sort of vague and that's what makes it kind of hard. But like things like I fly off the handle a lot sooner, or I just have trouble remembering things, or, you know, I constantly forget my keys, or, you know, you just start, there can be these different things, or just feeling icky, like, inflammation is another big one. So estrogen has anti-inflammatory benefits. So inflammation increases as we go through menopause. And so you might just feel more bloated, more aches and pains in your joints. So it's
bone density, I hear, is a big concern.
Definitely. Yeah. So you asked about the age to start paying attention. I would say that in your, for sure, by your early 40s, the two biggies are loss of bone density and loss of muscle mass. So it's really good if you're, you know, for listeners who are over 35 to start to strength train, because strength training coupled with nutrition, which I can talk about as well, will help you with your bone density, which is super important, because we are more likely in, when we get older, to die of an osteoporosis fracture, an osteoporotic fracture, or cardiovascular disease. So we have to be taking care of ourselves, look at our bone health, and, we start to, our muscle mass starts to decrease, and it, and our bone density, our, the loss of bone density accelerates during menopause and then it kind of stabilizes, but it's low. Some people have a higher risk for osteoporosis. And then muscle mass, we need our muscle. We need our muscle for functionality, for balance. We don't want to fall and fracture, you know, a bone. And this is the kind of stuff that I think when you get into your 50s, you start to think about your health around longevity. I think we start to see our elder, our parents get older. Like my mom's 80, about to turn 89. We are thinking about our own lifespan, thinking about the quality of our life. And so it's like exercise and nutrition, at least for me, and I've heard this from others, it's sort of like the calculation changes. It's less about aesthetics maybe, and more about, health as we age. And having more muscle mass helps you not only with your balance and your strength and functional movement, but it also helps you mitigate weight gain, which is another side effect of like aging plus the hormonal changes of midlife. So I would say that, you know, people complain about, you know, women will kind of say, I think my metabolism has slowed down. So that's another sign and thing that can happen is weight gain, which feels like unexplained weight gain. I've changed nothing. I still run and I still, you know, I still eat the same, but I've gained weight. And strength training is really one of the best things you can do for that as well.
So I could go into that whole like rabbit hole, but I want to stay more surface because you and I are going to do a deeper dive on April 8th. So just a plug here for that. And you can check out details if you're listening to this before April 8th, 2024, in the show notes. But why do you think it's so hard to find this information? Like, why is this not just like common knowledge?
So I think a few things that I've learned as a result of, you know, reading various books from doctors who are trying to change that. I think it comes down to a few factors. One is the lack of research in the lack of health research. So the number, when you think about women's health research, it's been, you know, predominantly around pregnancy and fertility and breast cancer. And they kind of call it like bikini science or bikini research. It's like whatever is under the bikini. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, up until quite recently, women were barred from studies because of the chance that she could get pregnant, the chance that women could get pregnant, their hormones were more complicated. So much of the guidance around things like heart attack, it's always done on men. And then it was extrapolated to women and we were treated as just little men with different mm-hmm. genitals. And so a lot of that stuff doesn't even work as well in women, like the aspirin a day thing. No, that's guidance mm-hmm. for men, not women. So you've got the lack of research, women actually being excluded from studies. You've got this patriarchy going on mm-hmm. where we're just valued for our ability to bear children. And then you have this study that many people might know about called the WHI study, Women's Health Initiative, that was done in 2002 that drew a conclusion that women were at a higher risk of breast cancer if they took hormone replacement therapy. Mm-hmm. Well, that's all been walked back. It's all been shown to have been the design of the study was flawed. The women recruited for this study were like average age of 62, had all these other health complications and risk factors, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So all that's been walked back, but that is going to take a while to really have like our medical schools train doctors based mm-hmm. on this new understanding mm-hmm. of the research. Mm-hmm. So that's around hormone therapy. But I think what happened is you have a 20-year gap where doctors going through medical school did not receive information about the benefit of hormone therapy, but also even before that, they did not get training in menopause. So you've just got this like perfect storm of stuff where like you go to the doctor and they don't have information because they weren't given it. Then you had the scare come through, and that's two generations of doctors that really then were like, no, can't go on that on hormones. And so, you know, we're left where we are. And the crazy part too is that, like I said before, you know, we have estrogen receptors throughout our entire body. We work optimally with estrogen, but our medical system is compartmentalized into specialties. So mm-hmm. this whole conversation is pushed into OBGYN because it's women's health. But that's also, you know, it should be something that all doctors in all specialties, if you go to, you know, if you're going to see someone about a heart thing, like that they know about menopause, you know, because mm-hmm. it's of all the ways in which we're our bodies are affected. So I think it's all those things have contributed to the problem. And then I think there's just a lot of misinformation mm-hmm. and it's hard to know when you're Googling and you're all of that, like what to really believe. And I think in the vacuum of that WHI study, in the vacuum that was left, a lot of people turn to alternative medicine, and there's a lot of great modalities to support you. But then that kind of is another, that's a whole other topic, mm-hmm. but that's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a lot of, in some cases, helpful treatments, in some cases, unnecessary testing and all this stuff. And it just got so confusing for people. And, you know, and it shouldn't, I feel like this kind of access to information and treatment should not be something that you have to also be privileged and have wealth to access, right? This should be for everyone. So that's a whole other, the inequities is like, it just mm-hmm. touches on all of it, right? It's like, mm-hmm. it's, yeah.
So where do we go from here? Like, what can we do? What can I do? What can our individual listeners do for themselves? Right. Cause if, you know, it has to start with us. So then we'll role model for our community members and our children. What can we do to move the needle forward?
Well, I think for individually, there is a lot we can do with our own lifestyle, the things that will really be most supportive as you navigate this transition to feel good and to not suffer. Mm-hmm. And then I think talking about it more and sharing knowledge is super helpful. So what I mentioned before about strength training, I'll just say kind of the message so much too for us and our health has been about thinness. I mean, I grew up in the cardio era and the era of skinny and, you know, as a Gen Xer and then probably older millennials too. And yeah. Right. So, you know, it's reframing that and understanding why it's so important to chase strength and not skinny, and mm-hmm. to change up our habits. We were taught to restrict calories and burn more, right? Calories in, calories out. That's it. There's mm-hmm. no other factor. So restrictive diets, and excess cardio are things that when you get older, your body is going to, respond less well to it. Lots of cardio spikes our cortisol. Restrictive diets are not supportive of our metabolism. We need to eat more, and we need mm-hmm. to eat more protein, and we need to eat more fiber, and we need to strength train. So I would say, like, get out moving every day. Our lives are also more sedentary. So these are all just the things we do have control over that we can start to do for ourselves. So getting out on walks, walking is incredibly beneficial to our cardiovascular health. It's free. It's available. Mm-hmm. It lowers stress. It helps regulate our blood sugar. So walking is awesome. Just more movement, any ways you can, things you love to do. And then I would say stress and sleep. So it's mm-hmm. like, nutrition. Are you getting enough to eat? Are you eating enough protein? Are you getting in enough fiber? Those are all really, really supportive. And then start to lift some weights, go out on walks, and then let's look at ways you can reduce stress, which, you know, your group and this focusing mm-hmm. on the me time. I mean, those are all become that much more important in midlife because we are more susceptible to stress. And we're more sort of sensitive to it. Mm-hmm. So doing things that help calm our nervous system. So meditation, mindfulness, all of that is really, really helpful in the craziness of perimenopause and into menopause and just in general, you know, for us. And then sleep, because we need our sleep. Our sleep is going to support our metabolism, our blood sugar. I mean, all these benefits to us. Disrupted sleep can be a symptom of perimenopause. So sometimes, you know, it's hard to get a good night's sleep, but there mm-hmm. are still things we can do. If you are doing hormone treatment, that can really, really help with hot flashes, not getting woken up at night by that. There are some non-hormonal treatments for that as well now, but things that promote good sleep, sleep hygiene, turning off screens, like all those things that you hear about as being helpful. I'd say midlife, that's another thing you can do to take good care of yourself is get your sleep.
So we are going to do a much deeper dive, like I said earlier, on April 8th at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And you'll find that and a bunch of other resources in the show notes, because Julia and I could talk about this for hours and hours and still have more to talk about. So join us there. This is a free event and we welcome you. You will come away from that with some individualized knowledge that you can put to use right away. So before we close, Julia, is there anything that you want to make sure you say?
I'll say this. You know, a lot of this sounds so terrible. And I think we've had such a message in our culture of like, oh my God, you just fall off a cliff after, after menopause. And I just want to say, I think it's actually a time of an amazing sense of, I'd say sort of like clarity and power. You think of the stereotypical midlife crisis, and I do think there's certain things that become more clear. And so it's not so much a crisis, I'd say, as it's like this opportunity. You almost to like cut the things out of your life that don't serve you anymore. You know, you hear the joke about like older women don't give a shit anymore. Yes. And it's true. We do not. There is something that literally is happening to our bodies due to the fat hormone, the changes of no more estrogen. We aren't driven in the way that we are when we're having our period. Yeah. Biologically, to compete, to care. We don't care as much of what other people think. It is super liberating. Yeah. And I think it just, things get clearer, like who in your life is supportive and serving and helpful, you know, is like helping you fulfill your purpose, you know, like it's just a time of reevaluation. And I think it can be very empowering, liberating. I kind of feel like, especially combined with like for me getting stronger, it's physically stronger too. It's like this, hey, nothing's really going to stop me now. Like I've got a lot of life to live and I'm going to live it with vitality. And, I think it's just, I think it's actually a great opportunity to reassess a lot of things in your life and make really positive changes.
Thank you for naming that, because it's something that we can look forward to. It's happening whether we want it to or not. We're actually privileged to enter this phase. So thank you for reframing that for us. I think that's so, so important. Okay, my last question. What is a next empowering action you'd like to invite our listeners to take?
I would invite you to start lifting heavy shit.
Yes.
Lift heavy weights. Don't pick up those little 5-pounders. Really start to strength train. It is a confidence booster. It will just make you feel better. We'll talk more on April 8th about the benefits of building your muscle mass. But I really think that it's like that's contributing to this feeling of badassery, empowered, midlife womanhood.
Oh my God. Amazing. I'm going to stack on top of that a little bit by saying also while you're lifting weights or, you know, before or after, go check out Julia's Instagram. She's hilarious. She's motivating and you're not going to want to miss it. So invitations. One, lift weights, and two, check out Julia on Instagram. I will include all of those links, including the link to our conversation together on April 8th in the show notes. Until then, everyone, take care. Bye.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Mother's Empowerment Podcast. That's all for today, my friends. And here's what I want you to remember. Empowerment is an inside job. The only one
who can empower you is you. Today's episode was produced by Brendan Lindsay. Intro and outro music are by Matthew Randolph. I'm Isabel Bridges, author of Daddy Daughter Day. I'm also the founder of the Mother's Empowerment Sisterhood. You can learn more about my work and join the sisterhood at isabelbridges.com. And psst, I'm offering a 50% off discount for a limited time only. So check it out today, isabelbridges.com.